What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today, we're looking at 1 Kings 14 and 15 here in the Old Testament. And what that means is the life and reign of Jeroboam and Rehoboam are coming to a close. And I want to show you a chart real quick because we haven't looked at any charts of the kings, but there's so many helpful ones. I put this one together a while back. This is for the Kingdom of the North. What we're going to see here is the book of Kings is really going to start to pick up its pace chronologically. So this is the Kingdom of Israel. You got all these different kings, all the different dynasties, which is one thing to note. We're going to see how here in today's daily Bible reading, we're going to see that the dynasty or the household of Jeroboam is actually going to come to an end. And it doesn't come to an end today, but the story, we're going to read about how it's promised the whole family of Jeroboam is going to pass away and they're going to die, and not just in a natural way, but they're going to be killed and replaced with another dynasty of kings in the north. Now, in the south, there's only one dynasty of kings. So on this chart right here, this is a chart to put together about all the kings of Judah. We have a split kingdom, and we see Rehoboam there at the top, and what's going to take place after this is going to start to happen in the next few chapters. So as we've gone through this book, it has been going at a slow pace, relatively. And what I mean by that is there's not five generations in every single chapter, but there's about to be for a few chapters here. We're going to pick up the pace as we approach the stories of Elijah and Elisha, which really are going to take up the majority of the time in 1st and 2nd Kings. They're going to take up, their lifetimes are going to take up right in the middle of both of those books, the end of 1 Kings, the beginning of 2 Kings. So here we are in chapter 14. And in chapter 14, like I said, Jeroboam's dynasty is said it's going to come to a close. God promises that Jeroboam's son is going to die, and also the next person who reigns after him, they are going to die, and it's going to be terrible for them. What we see here in Judah is that Rehoboam, his reign comes to a close. But what we see before that is in verse 25 of chapter 14, it says, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam's reign, Shishak, I don't know how to say it. One of the guys who reads the Bible says Shishak, another says Shishak. There you go. Let's call him Shishak. Shishak, the king of Egypt, so one of the pharaohs down there, he comes up against Jerusalem and takes away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house as well. It says he took away everything. Now, after the heights of Solomon, and all the amazing things that God did through Solomon's building projects, and the amazing things that he built and brought into the kingdom, and all this stuff, the gold from all over the place, it says that in 5 years, Rehoboam loses everything. 5 years after he started. So this is terrible times for Rehoboam and for his kingdom, because he's going to be replaced by his son, Abijah. So Abijam here, he's going to reign instead of his father. This is what happens next. Jeroboam actually reigns for a little bit longer than Rehoboam. We're going to see how Abijah reigns. He does some bad things. He follows the sins of his father. And in the first generation, even in Rehoboam's generation, there was sin going on, and there was idolatrous high places that were being put up. God said that is not okay. The book of Deuteronomy makes that clear. All of the history of Israel up until this point says that God does not like that. And they are going to be punished for that. And one of the ways that they are punished is God brings this guy, Shishak, up to take over the gold and all the stuff from the house of God. So Abijam reigns in Judah. Then Asa, his son. And it says that Asa, at the beginning of his reign, he was doing pretty good. He wasn't the worst guy. He wasn't the best guy. Wasn't the worst guy. And what we see is he starts to follow God a little bit. But at the end of his life, he trusts in his money and his stuff and hires out these foreign kingdoms to fight the battles for him instead of trusting the Lord. And when he does that, he takes God's money, the money and the silver and gold from the house of God, takes it, delivers it to a foreign kingdom, and they're saved, but they're not saved in a good way. God is not with them, and this is something that brings him judgment himself. And as that's happening, we see Nadab. He's going to reign in Israel. That's the son of Jeroboam. He will not reign for very long. He'll only reign for 2 years. And it says there's this guy named Baasha who's going to come up, and he is going to take out this house of Jeroboam, which is exactly what was promised. And we're going to see Baasha begin to reign, but we'll see him mostly tomorrow. So as we start to go fast-forwarding through these kingdoms, or through the kings of the kingdoms, I want you to see how when people obey God, things go well for them. When people don't obey God, God brings judgment. That's the repeated story that Kings is trying to teach us. When we obey God, things go well. Not in every situation, not every circumstance, but overall, God blesses people who are willing to submit and serve him. And to the people who don't, God brings judgment on them too. So let's check out the New Testament here. We're looking at John, a brand new book. We're looking at John chapter 1, which is a super important book in the New Testament, because what we see here is we see that Jesus is going to have his story be told through one of the eyewitnesses that was there. Now, Matthew was an eyewitness. Mark probably writes from the perspective of one of the eyewitnesses, of Peter. Luke writes with the authority and the apostleship of Paul behind him. John is another famous author, and he's going to write on his own because he was there. He saw this stuff. He saw what happened. He heard the words that Jesus said. So this whole book is going to have a lot of different themes that are going to tie it together. There's going to be themes of light and darkness. There's going to be themes of truth. There's going to be the big theme that Jesus really is the Son of God and that he has all the power and all the authority of the Father. So what we see here at the beginning is Jesus being described as the Word. Now the Word, big concept, it's a big concept in the Hebrew understanding that the Word of God goes forth throughout all the world, just as it says in the Old Testament, that when God speaks, that is what stands. So the Word of God in the Old Testament is important. Also, the Word is a Greek philosophical system and a way of thinking that they already had in place. So to the both audiences that listen to this, the Hebrews and the Greeks, who take this gospel in at the beginning, they know that this is significant. And what it says about Jesus being the Word is it says that he is God, that he created with God, that he brought everything into being, but the people that he made, his own people, especially the Jewish people, they did not receive him. And it says, because of that, he gives the right for anyone who trusts in him to become a child of God. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory. Glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what it says in verse 18 is that no one's ever seen God, but this man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, he makes God known to us, which is good news for us. And then we see John the Baptist explain things about Jesus, that he is amazing, that John isn't even worthy to untie his sandal. But furthermore, John says that he is the voice that's crying out in the wilderness, which is a reference back to Isaiah. I think it's very interesting, something I want you to notice, who is the Word and who is the voice? In this situation, Jesus is the Word. He's the substance. He's the subject. John is the voice. You got a Word and a voice, right? The voice proclaims the Word. John talks about Jesus, the Word. So it's just very interesting how John the Apostle puts this all together, because he wants us to see that Jesus is unlike anyone else. Jesus is God. And we're going to continue to read about how Jesus is God. So as we study the Gospel of John, buckle up, because he is going to teach us so many things, and hopefully God will continue to show us more about his Son, Jesus Christ, through this book. So stay with us. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.